Lord, please be with me that I might speak truly, and be with all of us that we might hear what you're saying. Help us be open to what you're saying. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Unity is pretty much a universal desire. It's something we all want. We want people to work well together. We want people to live together in harmony. It's like the old John Lennon song, Imagine, which still is very popular, partly for this reason, where it says, I hope someday you will join us and the world will be as one. We've seen what disunity and division do. Graham gave some examples before. You only have to think of September the 11th, the Two Towers, think of the Balkan Wars, think of Syria or Iraq, Israel, Palestine, Ukraine at the moment. Disunity causes great suffering. But actually, it's not just at the big world level that we want unity. When families or communities are divided, there's loneliness and isolation. And when families and communities are united, there's much less loneliness and isolation. So we want unity at the big world level, but also at the small level. I do. No doubt you do too. Yet unity's often so fragile. How many nations and families and relationships do you know that were once strongly united but now are divided, broken? We want unity, but we need more than just that. We need unbreakable unity. And to echo John Lennon again, when I start talking about unbreakable unity, you may say that I'm a dreamer. I may be the only one. And fair enough, unity is very hard to find, let alone to keep. But what if we could find a basis for unbreakable unity? Isn't that what we're all looking for? That sort of unity, unbreakable, solid, grounded, that sort of unity is at the heart of what Jesus was talking about in the reading we just had from John's Gospel, one of the biographies of John in the Bible. Jesus is actually praying, and he's praying for unity that is solid. And his prayer, in his prayer, if we look at it, we can find a way to unity that's unbreakable as well. So I hope you spend a few minutes looking at it with me. Feel free to follow along with me in these blue Bibles that are there. It's page 1084, as Anne said. We start at verse 20, little number 20, just under the heading there, Jesus prays for all believers. And we start there. We see we're picking up in the middle of Jesus' prayer. He's praying. He's already prayed for himself and then for his disciples who were with him, those who were around him and were with him through his life. They're the people whose stories, what they told, ended up in the Bible. That's why we've got it. That's where it came from. In the New Testament, we've got the stories about Jesus because they were there. And so he's prayed for himself, he's prayed for them. And then in verse 20, he starts by saying, my prayer is not for them alone. It's not just for those that were with him at the time. He carries on, I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. At which point, you might want to stop me. Say, hang on, Jesus is praying for unity, that all who believe in him would have unity. All who believe in him, in other words, Christians. In other words, the church. He's praying for unity for the church, which shines a spotlight on an obvious elephant in the room. The church's unity, at absolute best, is a very broken unity. It's a broken unity. There's a story of a man walking across a bridge, and he sees a lady who's standing about to jump off the bridge, and he runs up to her and says, don't do it, don't do it. God loves you. Don't jump. And she looks at him, and she says, I know, I'm a Christian, I know God loves me. And he says, wow, I'm a Christian too. Are you Catholic or Protestant? And she says, I'm Protestant. Wow, me too. Which denomination? She says, Baptist. Wow, me too. Are you Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist? Northern Baptist, she says. This is amazing. Are you Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist? Northern Conservative Baptist. Me too. Are you Northern Conservative Baptist Council of 1879 or Council of 1912? And she says, Council of 1912. And he says, die, heretic, and pushes her off the bridge. Now, I don't think that actually happened. I like to think it didn't. But you get the point. Where's the unity? The church is broken and divided into all kinds of denominations, and the denominations seem to scrap amongst themselves. How can this unity be real, which Jesus is praying about, in the face of all these divisions? I think, first of all, as Christians, we have to take responsibility for this. We're flawed human beings. Church is a flawed human institution. And we've often been very divisive for no good reason. And that's a poor testimony to Jesus. But even with that, as we look closely at Jesus' words here, I think we'll find this unity still stands. Even stands against the mess that we've often made. And I'll try to show you why. In Jesus' vision of unity, I think we can see four parts. Firstly, it's a unity grounded in something else. Unity grounded in something else. This is in your welcome sheets, by the way, if you want a wee guide to where we're going. Unity grounded in something else, firstly. Secondly, unity grounded in unity. Thirdly, unity in the end. And finally, a unity that's growing. So firstly, unity grounded in something else. Often people talk about how we can be united in the world. And they'll say, just be united. Love one another and be united. It's that simple. But the problem with that is when things start going wrong, it becomes very hard to stay united and to love one another. Sometimes there are things about each other that makes staying united very, very difficult. When we see the world in different ways, when we have different desires or needs, it's very hard to be united. And at that point, we need something else that makes us want to stay united and something else to be united in. That's why what Jesus says there in verse 20, which we read just before, is so important. He says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. See, the unity Jesus is praying for here is unity based on the message he gave to the apostles, the message that we have in the Bible, the message about him. It's not a unity based on a denomination. It's not a unity based on some leader or another. It's a unity based on the message of Jesus, which has come to us through the scriptures. That's the first ground for the unity that he prays for. And that's actually very, very powerful, because the message of Jesus in the Bible doesn't belong to any one group. It doesn't just belong to this group or that group. It doesn't just belong to the leaders in the church or the priests or whoever. It's not some secret code. It's open to all, and everyone has access to it, so we can work on it together and grow in it together. And even more than that, we're all accountable together to that message. No one has absolute control over it. We're drawn into unity together under this word, under this message. And even more, the message of Jesus, when we take it seriously, if we take it seriously, is a message that leads to unity, because it's a message of the one, the most important one in the world, the Son of God, who came here, and instead of having people serve him, he gave up his life and died to serve others, out of love, to save us because we need saving. So that message, when we focus on it and live by it, it will push us to serve and love other people, to care about their needs, to want to kind of give way to their needs if they have needs, rather than just look after our own. Because we'll be wanting to be like Jesus, like the one who's done that for us. If we take it seriously, we often forget to, but if we do, it has to bring us together. It has to make us more tolerant of others and push us towards loving them, even when it's hard, even when we differ. I remember a girl who was at an old church of mine. She became a Christian there in her mid-teens. She wasn't from a Christian family. And I asked her how it happened, and she said she was someone who had her school, a church school, was quite an outcast. She was on the outside. She wasn't, a lot of people teased her, didn't think much of her. And so she came to this church, and she noticed straight away the way people cared for each other, the way they genuinely loved one another, and the way they spoke, the way that they acted, the way that they cared for people who were very different from them. She said, this is something else. What was it that she was seeing? She was simply seeing this unity that's based on the kind of love that Jesus has. Love that genuinely cares for other people and is committed to other people, even before ourselves. Our unity is grounded not just in unity in self, but in something else, in the message of Jesus in the Bible, which leads to that kind of unity. But secondly, our unity, and this might sound strange, our unity is also grounded in unity. It's not grounded just in unity on itself, but it's grounded in a different unity. Sounds strange. Look with me. Verse 21. Jesus is praying for those who believe through that message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. See, the unity that we have, which we get brought to through the message of Jesus, is a unity that's based on not just the message of Jesus, but also the person of Jesus and the God that he introduces to us. Look what it says about God in verse 21 again. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. And he carries on verse 22. That they may be one just as we are one. See, the God that we believe in as Christians, the God that Jesus has shown to us, is united in his very being at his core. Father and Son are one in a deep way with the Holy Spirit. And the unity that Christians are called to have is just sort of an echo of that reality. We are trying to be one as Father and Son are one. That unity between Father and Son is at the very heart of the universe, according to Christianity. It's the heart of reality. So when we focus on that, it will lead us more and more to unity. Sort of naturally, it'll pull us towards that. We forget to focus on that sometimes, and then we go wrong. But when we do, we'll be more and more united, because unity's at the heart of the universe on a Christian view of things. That's the second point. But the third, Jesus prays for unity in the end. Verse 24, he says this, Father, I want those you've given me to be with me where I am, to see my glory, the glory you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. So he wants his people to be with him where he is, to see his glory. And where he was about to go to was to be with his Father. He was going to the cross to die for the world, and he was then going to rise from the dead, which is an amazing truth of history that unfortunately I don't have time to dwell on, but if you'd like to talk more about that, I'd love to. It's a wonderful thing. So Jesus is going to be with God again. And Jesus wants Christians to be where he is, which means if we follow Jesus, we're all heading in the same direction. We're all going towards an end point where we're with Jesus together, unified, in unity. We fail and have divisions now, but that's not the end of the story. We're going somewhere. We're going to end up united in the end. And that leads very quickly to the last part of Jesus' prayer for unity. We see a unity that's growing. The last couple of verses there, verses 25 and 26, numbers 25 and 26, they've got a lot in them. Too much for me to pull out now, but very quickly, do you see that those who believe in Jesus, he says, verse 26, he says, Jesus says, he has made you, that's God, known to them, and he will continue to make you known in order that the love that you have for me may be in them and I myself may be in them. Jesus is still in the business of making God known. He's still doing that now. And so that means for those who trust in Jesus, we're slowly but surely growing in our knowledge of the God of unity. And so we slowly but surely learn to express that unity that we have. We all start from different places and we grow at different rates. Some of us very slowly, but we are growing. And you see little glimmers of it. Little glimmers of the love and unity that we have in Jesus as we learn to express it. I've already mentioned the girl one of my previous churches who saw the love and unity that Christians have for each other. I actually had a similar experience. I didn't come from a Christian background. After I became a Christian, I looked around at the church and I realized there's people from all different backgrounds. They're all different kinds of people, all different stages and stations of life. But they were focused on the same things. They had a love and care for one another, and I was shown a love and care, that was because of Jesus, because Jesus was the one focus of all of them. And after that, I used to tour around in a band I was in, and when I did, I'd go to different churches in different cities, depending where I was on a Sunday, and it always amazed me. I could have never met a person before, go to a church, never met this person before, meet them, and find that because we both followed Jesus, we had so much in common. I often felt, in certain ways, I had more in common even with those that I was spending a lot of time with. Even this person that I just met brand new, felt like I had more in common with them because we both followed the same Jesus and we knew that Jesus loved us both so much. Immediately, we've got a lot in common. One more example. You might recognize this symbol. It's an Arabic letter N for Nazareth. The name that Christians have been given in Iraq under ISIS. And they would get this letter painted on the doors of the houses if they're Christians to mark them out as being in serious trouble. But this symbol has ended up on Facebook pages, all over the internet, on t-shirts and lots of other places because Christians around the world have wanted to show their solidarity, their unity with these brothers and sisters who have been treated so, so badly. This has been an outward symbol of the prayers and the care and the giving in some many cases and the letters to governments, government officials, that Christians have been going about because they've wanted to express their unity with these brothers and sisters across all kinds of denominational and national and racial boundaries. They've wanted to express their unity with our brothers and sisters who are suffering. That's the sort of unity that Jesus was praying for. And slowly we learn to express it. Slowly we grow in it. This sort of unity is unbreakable. Not because we as Christians are particularly good at it. We're not. But because Jesus, his message and who he is and where he's taken us, those are where our unity is found. And slowly we grow to express our unity because of those things which are solid and unbreakable. And that leaves me with just one question to ask us. What about you and unity? Did you notice at the start of this prayer of Jesus, he said, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Now that could include every single one of us here this morning. It could include you. You are invited into this prayer to be part of this unity that Jesus is praying for. I said earlier, unity is something we all want. Do you want unity? Really? Because here in Jesus is a real basis for unity. Now, I know the visible church and the denominations, us Christians, we mess it up. We fog up the picture with our divisions. But have you seen this morning in Jesus the real basis for unity? He invites you to be part of that, to be united to him and to God his Father. In fact, he has given his life to invite you to be united to him. There's this great course we've mentioned, Daphne spoke about, Christianity Explored, starting very soon, October. Take that up and look into what it would mean to be united to Jesus. But Jesus also invites you to be part of his people, to taste and see this unity for yourself. Now we are very imperfect and we're definitely a work in progress. But I trust that if you keep coming along here, so delighted to have you here, if you keep coming along here, I trust that you'll see some of these glimpses of unity and love shining through. And you'll know that they're grounded in Jesus and who he is and what he's done for us. Just keep coming along and get a taste of that real unity. A unity that is ultimately unbreakable, not because of us, but because Jesus and his love and his message can never be broken. And he is where true unity is found. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that true unity is found in you. Help us to express that unity so much more. We're sorry for where we've failed to express it. Pray you help us to express it more. And we pray for any here today who are just exploring that, looking into the possibility of finding true unity with you and in you. Bless them and give them the courage and help them to see where true unity can be found in you. We entrust all of ourselves to you now then in Jesus' name. Amen.